going to start tonight with a question. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, a club or an organization perhaps, where somebody said to you, you'd make a really good president of this organization, or a really good treasurer, or anything like that? Does that ring a bell for anybody here? I distinctly remember the day nearly 20 years ago when a friend and respected clergyman told me I should be a pastor, to which I stuttered and stammered and gave every excuse I could think of. And then I had to think very hard about his words and listen very hard for God's voice and accept the calling that changed the path of my life. I wonder if it wasn't the same for Jesus' mother. We believe that Mary was a teenager, probably in her early teens, when she became engaged to Joseph, simply because that's what would have been typical in that time and place. When God's messenger tells her that she will bear God's child in the world, the angel says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And many scholars and many preachers debate, was Mary favored because of who she was or who she would become? Did God look at her past or was God looking at her future? As the days and weeks went by, I imagine there were many who thought Mary's condition was more scandalous than special. Her family sent her away to a relative, Elizabeth, living in the hill country outside of Jerusalem. And then Elizabeth greeted her with these words, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Elizabeth saw what so many others could not. Elizabeth saw possibility. Elizabeth saw potential. Elizabeth saw the way God works in the world, making all things new, redeeming even the worst messes. Mary's fiancé, Joseph, by law, had every right to refuse their union when he learned of her pregnancy. With God's encouragement, Joseph chose not to, instead giving Mary and her child, God's child, his family name and his protection, which is what led them to Bethlehem on the eve of this child's birth. The census required everyone to return to the town of their family of origin, not like today's census where the counters come and knock on your door. Joseph brought Mary miles and miles away from her home and her family, a journey that took them several days. And when they arrived at the house, which in theory should have been his family's house, it was already overflowing with guests returned home for the census. Not so different from your houses this Christmas with the kids and the grandkids and the significant others sleeping on the sofa, the futon, the floor, eating you out of house and home. When Joseph arrived with a very pregnant Mary at his side, I bet every eye in the room peered at them and whispers went round the room. And whichever relative thought of it first suggested they sleep where the animals are bedded down. It was likely a more creative idea than we imagine it to be and less insulting than we think. You see, it would have gone against every rule of hospitality in that religious culture to turn away a couple in need. The solution of the stable gave Mary privacy and elbow room, and it gave the rest of the family a little distance. And who knows, that solution might even have provided Mary with a sister-in-law to hold her hand or an auntie to coach her. But whatever else it may have offered, however unlikely it may seem, this barn, this stable, this manger, on this night, it became a house for the holy. Just as Mary herself, a young girl from the country town, seemed an unlikely vessel to carry this holy child. And just like those shepherds abiding out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night, just like they became unlikely bearers of God's good news. Something surprised me this week when I was getting the sanctuary ready for tonight. There are these cloths that we use to mark the seasons in the church. During Advent, we decorate the pulpit and the communion table with a cloth. Well, they used to be cloths of purple, and this year we were able to acquire some that are actually blue. We had the blue ones out for Advent. I had to switch them around for tonight because blue is the color we associate with preparation, and white is the color we associate with God's glory and God's goodness in our world. I started to do that, and I realized that if I put that white cloth against the white tablecloth, because the burlap wasn't there before, that nobody would see it. And I thought, well, I need something more. I need another layer. What fits with our theme of the stable and the barn? Certainly not satin, not silk, not velvet. Those things are not barn fabrics. No, burlap seemed like the right thing. And when I placed the burlap on the table and laid the white cloth over it, I saw it. I saw the gift of the Christ child and the meaning of Christmas. Because we are a little like the burlap. We are a little rough sometimes, a little uneven. We make mistakes. We forget things. We go off track. We might even think ourselves unworthy of being a house for the holy. But you see, God is more creative than we think or imagine. God covers us in grace that washes over our mistakes and our missteps, our faults and our failings. God lays love over our cold and hardened hearts, warming them once again. God plants peace in our spirits, peace that comes in knowing the right path to follow and trusting it, even when we can't see it. God gives us glimpses of joy when we have become blinded by the world's sorrows. God hands out hope to sustain our weary souls, and God enlivens us with the light of the world, the light that overcomes darkness. God doesn't see our past, or he doesn't just see our past. God sees our future. And then God does the most surprising thing of all. God turns us into houses for the holy. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate that the Christ child is born anew in us, the most humble place we can imagine. Just moments ago, we sang, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. That is the message of Christmas. Christ is born not just for us, but in us. May you be blessed, every one of you, with the knowledge that you are loved, and you are graced, and you are gifted with truly the greatest gift of all. You are covered in God's glory. You are created to be a house for the holy. Now, like those shepherds, once you have seen the child, be transformed. Go and spread the good news of Christmas to all. Amen, friends.